Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Weather State Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I am fired up. I can't believe it. Coffee number six.
Yeah, coffee number six.
I'm going for it today. I'm going to be crashing in an hour.
There's a few things that are going on at this office. One, what did you buy? You bought a skateboard.
I bought a balance
on a wheel.
Board. Yeah, I bought a balance. I bought not a one wheel. Not to be confused with a one wheel.
That's at home.
It's a balance board.
Core strength.
So I'm rocking back and forth while I'm on the phone. But you know what? Actually, I did take
harder
out.
Harder than it looks.
It is a lot harder than it looks. And we've had some people in the office already take a spill. I'm not going to mention any names, Pete Stoyak. But here's the thing. We actually had, it's funny though. I took out the land yacht last night.
Oh, right. You mentioned this.
I got a demand from my wife to go get some potato chips at around 9 o'clock. And I was like, well, I can walk or I can fire up the land yacht. And what a ride. What a smooth ride.
I also have a land yacht.
Do you use it still?
I do.
We've talked about it extensively on this program.
Have we? Okay. Well, it's you know what?
It's the
bigger
best.
Wheels. I'm not sure why everybody used to ride on such small wheels.
It's the best plus 35 skateboard on the market, and I'm sure they have awards in other categories as well, but in this room,
our new sponsor,
that's what it is.
And also another update just before we go, thinking of the Michael Jordan thing, we do have a pickup basketball game doing tomorrow night.
Yeah, we should start the V-Rap basketball. Just pick a court in East Vancouver and put it out there. But you're playing tomorrow?
I am playing tomorrow. Yeah, power forward.
I'm not able to make it, but I'll see how the first one goes. If there's no heart attacks at the first one, I'll be at the second one.
But wait a second. Who do we got on the show?
We have a fantastic show today. We've got Tyler Proud. He's the CEO of Avesdo. If you are in the industry, you know Avesdo.
That's
you probably
right.
do. If you've bought a pre-sale, there's a good chance you know Avesdo.
That's right. And if you don't know Avesdo, the short version is these guys are kind of changing the game. They're working with all the big developers across the country,
right.
All the big developers here in the Lower Mainland. They're working with all the project marketers to basically make real estate much easier to purchase.
Yeah.
Kind of the Amazon.
Amazon? Was that where? I don't know if I'd go Amazon.
No. Why I mentioned Amazon was because, you know, you put it in your shopping cart. And
oh, yeah.
It's very simple, a couple clicks and you're done.
Yeah. And what they've done is they've worked, generally speaking, they've worked with lawyers. They're trying to really streamline the process of the purchase, right? All the complications. So it's great. It's so much more than that. We're not doing it into justice. We'll let Tyler talk about the future of real estate. And I'm super excited. If you are interested in kind of just charting where real estate is going in terms of just technology, there's a really interesting thing that Tyler talks about called Offplan, which is another platform that they're going to be launching. And it's like a clear route into the future of where our markets are heading, I think, in terms of how you buy real estate.
That's right. That's right. And the short version is you won't have to pay people from Craigslist to line up outside of a pre-sale center for much longer.
Right, exactly.
But before we get to that, we got a couple other things. One of them is Klaus Rode, property manager here in Vancouver and Toronto, is back on the show. Last time we had him on, it was early April. Depths of despair.
Yeah.
Talking about rent deferrals, talking about basically the deep freeze. Well, we're thawing. We're phase three officially. Klaus is back on to talk about it's fairly positive, actually. Fairly positive news about the rental market.
He gives his first pick for what he'd buy if he was looking to rent something out.
As well as some strategies during COVID to get top dollar and
some of the challenging properties, too.
Yeah, as well. So stay tuned for that.
It's fascinating. We'll jump to that right after this, Matt, because we got to mention a couple things. Sellers Club is on fire. It's the most exclusive club in the city.
It's the quickest growing and most exclusive club. This is the V-Rep Sellers Club.
It's like the Skull and Bones.
I think actually, George W. Bush was a member.
Then we don't want to be associated with it. It's the Columbia House. It's the hair club for men and women. What is it? It's an exclusive club, the Five Timers Club from SNL of real estate.
That's exactly it. But what it really is so far – is we have three documents that are generating a lot of excitement here.
Yeah.
We're putting out new information for sellers on a regular basis. You sign up to this club, you get actionable plans to get your home ready for market.
Yeah.
And it's ongoing, right?
Well, we have volume one that's just gone out to a lot of people. We're going to be basically just updating these lists. And the reality is that we're producing this content. We're talking to people in the industry all the time. So I just want to make sure that we're clear. This is not a seller's guide. We have seller's guides that we use in industry. This is more like just really, really, like you said, actionable resources that you can kind of go through methodically to get your home on the market. You can sign up at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com or fire us an email if you want a copy of that.
Yeah,
we'll add you to this club.
Absolutely. It's information that's crafted over the years in the industry. You will find it useful. That's a guarantee. Last but not least, Oakland Realty.
Yes, we are sponsored by Oakland Realty. If you are a new agent or a seasoned agent out there and you're looking to make a change, Oakland is a fantastic brokerage in the city and probably one of the most resource-rich, support-rich brokerages we've ever heard of.
Another dynamic club, that's for sure. Great culture, great environment to work. Head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, VRP 2020, you get a huge surprise.
So many gifts on this podcast. Gifts.
Oh, right. Okay.
Did I say it any differently? I keep saying gifts. I can't. That's a hard T. That's a hard T to pronounce. Yeah, exactly. No, but there's a lot of stuff on this podcast. We've got if you go VRP 2020, you're going to get a huge surprise, a huge gift. And then on top of that, sign up for the Sellers Club.
Yeah.
But without further ado, Matt, let's cut to our interview with Klaus Rode.
This is a great update.
Okay, so we're here with Klaus Rode, property manager in Vancouver and Toronto. How are you doing, Klaus?
Pretty good. Nice to be back. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, good, good, Klaus. I think last time we talked to you, we were deep in phase one. If I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
Phase one COVID times.
Yeah, I think so. We just got the first day of phase two out here in Toronto. So patios are officially open today.
Wow. What's been the response of people? Are people actually out in the streets? Like, does it seem like, because Vancouver in a lot of ways feels pretty much back to normal in terms of traffic and human traffic on the streets?
It's picked up a little bit. It's still not as busy as it used to be. Just looking at some of the restaurants across the street here, the patios are definitely being used today. So, which is nice. So, yeah, it'll be a good change. I think it'll take a few more days for people to sort of adjust to the new reality that you can actually go outside now. So,
right. Well, one of the reasons we brought you on, Klaus, is because you've got offices in Toronto and Vancouver, and we've worked with you for a very long time. You definitely know the rental market in the two big cities or main markets in Canada. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on in rentals right now?
Yeah, for sure. And so, I mean, in Toronto, I was actually just looking at the first quarter numbers. And the average rent for a one-bedroom is sitting at just over $2,100. So we're up about 2% from last year at this time. So quarter two, you're probably going to be down or maybe even. Vancouver is pretty much the same story. I mean, one-bedrooms are down a bit over May 2019. And two-bedrooms are definitely down over May 2019. But overall, I think the market has pretty much stabilized right now.
And what are you finding just in terms of since we've had you on last? So I think if for those listeners who either didn't catch the episode or don't remember, we were talking about rent deferrals. We were talking about basically the deep freeze in the market at that point. How have we recovered, if we've recovered at all here?
Yeah, it's starting to be a lot busier. It's just even over just the past week. I'm not exactly 100% sure what's spurring all this on. I know I've had a few phone calls from a production company. They're starting to look for furnished rentals again. So, I mean, there will be the uptick for the movie industry that's starting to come back to Vancouver. And then, you know, students have been calling a lot too. So we put up a new listing at the Brava building yesterday. And we had 15 inquiries just yesterday on that one specific suite. So it's a very good sign. We're not increasing the asking price over what we were asking, you know, last year.
Was that a one bed close?
It's a one bedroom, yeah. So an asking price is $21.50. So it seems to be average for downtown right now for one bedroom.
15 inquiries. Wow, that's good traction.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's very encouraging.
well, close, because we always ask you as well, like what segment of the market, like if you were buying a revenue property in Vancouver, what would you buy and why in terms of the ease of renting it?
I would probably still recommend the one bedroom because, I mean, the one bedroom, a couple can live in it and it's still affordable for them. Studios are pretty good as well. And the rent return on a studio isn't bad either. Right now we're getting, depending on the age of the building, anywhere from 16 to 1800 for a studio. The problem is with some of the newer studios, they're priced so high that the numbers just don't really make sense. You know, if you're looking at Vancouver House, for example, you know, you would have to get $2,200-$2,300 to cover all your expenses for studio. And you could go rent a one bedroom for less than that in Yale Town.
Right. Are you still seeing, so I just saw that the emergency order is extended, at least on the tenancy kind of component of it, till the end of August. I know the rent deferrals were not, you weren't having as many issues as a lot of people were expecting last time we spoke, but it was, I think, then wait for May, wait for June. What are you finding with your portfolio of what, 150 doors or whatever you have in terms of rent deferrals?
Yeah, it's actually a few of our tenants have canceled their rent deferrals. So they've contacted BC Housing and canceled their stipend as well.
Nice.
So, yeah, they're back at work. So, yeah, things are definitely starting to turn, which is nice. It's definitely very encouraging, I think, for the owners as well, who were very nervous. But I think overall things are starting to look better. But, you know, then again, most of our clients work in sort of businesses, you know, that are not as affected by COVID as the retail or the service sector was.
Right. Right. And what percentage of your portfolio would you say were there deferrals? It doesn't have to be exact.
Yeah, we were probably around 5% of that.
Okay. So Klaus, in terms of, we asked you what you thought would be kind of what you would buy and where you think see the most activity in the market. Where does the market kind of fall off in terms of rental? Like what would be maybe a challenging place to rent in today's market?
The high-end stuff is definitely a lot more challenging. The two bedrooms, three bedrooms, and furnished. I mean, furnished rentals were down about 15% over last year. I think that's probably even low. If you look at the fact that there's nobody really renting furnished right now, there's no corporate transfers, film was down, there's no Airbnb. So I definitely would stay away from those. And houses have been getting a little bit harder as well because nobody's moving their families right now. I think families are just staying put where they are just to be safe.
And when you say the high end, like is there a dollar value, like north of 4,000 or?
Yeah, I'd say 5,000 plus.
Okay.
Two quick questions here, Klaus. So COVID has obviously presented a lot of challenges. One is in a slower rental market where there seems to be a lot of competition right now, do you have any strategies for how to stand out when you're trying to rent your place?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's been interesting. I mean, the vacant suites are easier, obviously, to take professional photos and do the virtual tours. Have that up on the website. We're advertising in, you know, various sources, Pat Pepper, Zumper, Box Score, and numerous other ones. And I think it's just a matter of exposure, making it as easy as possible for people to see the virtual tours. And then, you know, be able to, even if possible, even confirm appointments for them. I think that's probably the best strategy.
And I know that it sounds like you haven't had to do this very often, but there is, you, I know you've had incentives for a few properties. Can you kind of talk about what that looks like and why that works as a strategy?
Yeah, we had a few where we gave, you know, a $300 move-in incentive for the first month. I know there's a few other companies out there. I think West Bank, they're doing 4 months at half the rent. I mean, in terms of strategy, it makes sense because you're still getting top dollar. So you don't have to try to catch up with rent increases, which if you're looking at the percentage of the allowable rent increase over a year, wouldn't be as much as renting it out for the higher price and then discounting the rent for 2 or 3 months.
Right, right. And as a final question, Klaus, you know, I was talking to somebody who made the point, and I guess this, it all depends on vacancy rate, but he made the point that with his rental properties, he was going to be looking at what somebody does in a more kind of rigorous fashion, right?
Trying to
work wise, you know, if you work at a restaurant, your application gets moved to the bottom type thing just because of COVID. Have you guys, you know, and that's unfortunate in every way, I think, but it's just the nature of the beast. Have you guys vetted tenants during COVID and thinking about the future here have you made any changes or are you just doing kind of business as usual here?
Yeah, it's pretty much business as usual. I mean, it's, you know, the number one thing is you want to look at the ability for the tenant to pay the rent. You know, some people do have good amounts of savings saved up, which, you know, sometimes can be helpful in times like these. I mean, that's really all it boils down to. I mean, we've had, you know, one other person that had a very good job, but, you know, they did end up losing their job through COVID as well. And we ended up just letting them out of their lease early. But overall, you know, just do your due diligence, talk to the applicants, see what their, you know, ability to pay is. It's really the best you can do.
Okay, well, maybe we'll leave it there. Thanks so much again for your time, Klaus. And that's kind of, I think, mainly positive, which was nice for a change here. And how can people find out more about what you guys do and how to get in touch?
Yeah, you can just look me up on my website at klausrode.ca. That's KLAUSRODE.ca. Or give us a shout at 604-760-5856.
Thanks so much, Klaus.
Great, thank you.
Okay, so we're here with Tyler Proud, CEO of Avezdo. How are you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing great today. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Yeah, thanks for taking the time today, Tyler.
No problem. Excited to be here.
So, Tyler, can you maybe start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So, I'm CEO of Avezdo. I've been CEO for about 3 years now, since I joined on to Avezdo. I've always worked in technology before Avezdo. I was chief strategy officer and one of the co-founders of a company called Dye & Durham that was in the legal technology space. Dye & Durham is a, you know, bigger technology company across Canada with multiple different products that it offers, but it really was my first foray into both tech and real estate because we had a product that was particularly in the British Columbia market that managed all the conveyancing software for real estate lawyers. So after a real estate transaction's done, when the lawyer is going to prepare the documents and submit them to the jurisdictional body there, it's done on our software, Dye & Durham. I'm still involved in that company, but I left there 3 years ago to try something different at a startup, which is a smaller organization, of course, and a little bit earlier stages. So I had a couple co-founders and I, and it was just getting off the ground, and I joined on to kind of run the operations and lead the company.
Interesting. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what Avesto does?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit unique in what we do. There's not a ton of companies out there that are in this space. So we're really, the easiest way to describe it is sales software for real estate developers. So there's a lot of softwares out there that maybe do more into your marketing, automation, CRM functionality. But what we do is the nuts and the bolts in the sales process. So we've taken a rather old and painful process for most real estate developers, which is like preparing your contracts, working with purchasers to get all your forms filled out and completed and signed, managing all the homes they have available at any given day and the performance of those projects, how they're doing, how the reporting is being done, and all their like workflow internally, we handle on our system. So Avesto is somewhat unique in the market that it just focuses on that. Although we do have a new product that we've recently released since COVID's come out, and it's more of a front-end e-commerce extension of that, so that we allow developers to actually take what are their available homes and all the great things you could do in Avesto and have them more outward-facing so that they can share it with purchasers and share it with realtors, and people can actually put down a credit card to reserve that home. So that product we call Offplan is just brand new for us, and we released it in April this year.
Wow. So we had Cameron McNeil from MLA on our show probably about a month and a half ago or so. And he was suggesting that the future of the pre-sale condo market is click purchasing.
Cam's a smart guy.
Yeah.
we very much share that vision. So I believe, you know, our vision at Avesto and with Offplan is that we want to be able to manage the sales from, we'll call it cradle to grave. So from end to end, we envision a day where a buyer can come online, they can find out about a project online on the developer's website or on Offplan. We have our own marketplace on Offplan that is right now exclusive to just realtors, but they can find out about it through Offplan. They can see all the pertinent and important information for them, and they can actually click a button to go ahead and reserve that unit. They can fill out all their contracts on Avesto electronically from the comfort of their own couch. They can then pay for the rest of their deposits throughout the life cycle. They can communicate with the developer on Avesto for all of their, you know, any additional information, warranty forms that need to be filled out. And then one day, even at the end, you know, everything except for handing over the keys will all happen all on the Avesto infrastructure, and the person will be able to have it all in one place, all convenient for them, and so will the developer. So we're actually pretty close to that entire thing, considering that we can now reserve a home online, we can integrate with the developer's website so they can share their inventory, a purchaser can buy, and they can get their documents sent to them, and they can fill them out at home. We haven't done the latter part of taking the rest of the deposits, but we think there'll be a day where it will come.
So Tyler, it sounds like you were obviously in on the ground floor at Avesto, but maybe not one of the founders. I'm just curious. So you were in the legal technology space prior to this. Like, what excites you about the real estate space in terms of fintech and real estate technology and where we're at and where we can go?
That's I guess part of it. What I didn't describe in the life cycle there is what really does excite me. So I joined Avesto just after launch. I'm supposed to be the late stage founder. So there was two other gentlemen and I that really are the core team of the company, and both of them have moved on. One of them is Richard Bell, who's a large real estate lawyer in British Columbia.
Right.
He's always been still focused on running his real estate practice. And the other one, Farnham, ended up getting a fantastic opportunity at Amazon to run a team there. And we were doing some relocation of the team to Toronto, and just personal reasons, he decided to take it, which, you know, it's fantastic for him. We're all still involved and keep in touch. But for me, I wanted to get involved because, A, I loved the team when I started and who I was working with. But real estate particularly, like, I see so many gaps in the process. You know, in that life cycle I described, like getting a mortgage should be automated. It should be really easy in the click of a button as well. And we want to automate things like that. I see that, you know, just finding a home is challenging. Finding information on a home is challenging. So there's so many things that are really slow to adopt technology in real estate. And it's even more amplified in new construction real estate, is my experience. So if we can help change this industry and we can help make it better, which I really think we've already really done a good job, then that's really meaningful for me.
And Tyler, in just thinking about your focus being on pre-construction, is this technology applicable to the resale market as well?
No, it's not. We've just explicitly focused on pre-construction. We think there's a big enough nut to crack there in pre-construction that it's just something we want to focus on for the medium to long term. There's a lot of players in the resale space, and maybe one day we'll partner with one of them. But for now, we're really heads down into pre-construction.
And just thinking, Tyler, like, so real estate in terms of technology, the process is, I guess, can be cumbersome and slow. I'm thinking back to 2010, 2005, where there's some, you know, Adam and I are both real estate agents, and there's been people in our lives, even back then, that were saying, you know, predicting the death of the real estate agent, right? Why has real estate been so slow to adapt?
Or resilient, Matt.
Or resilient. Yeah, sorry, let me reframe that. Why are we so important, Tyler?
It's a good question. I don't think real estate adoption is, of technology is just, you know, the real estate agent being removed from the equation. I definitely don't think that's part of it. Like, we built our off-plan product to be a first focused on real estate agents, and we'll always have a particular set of tools that we think are important to the power users out there, which are the real estate agents. And we'll always want to show them something that's, you know, important to them, which we want to have them as part of the equation long term. I think that there's been a lot of success in the way that it's done already, right? So, like, when you have an industry that's highly successful and that there's a healthy profit margin already, there's not always a desire to change and to ruffle feathers. Things like COVID maybe caused people to readdress the way that they do business, because there's a dramatic impact that people look at and say, okay, you know, we've had it great for a decade or for two decades, and many places across Canada for three decades. We haven't needed to change, right? There's not been a need to change. So now how can we change? How can we make ourselves more efficient and more effective? And so, you know, if it was for an agent, that could be things like using Avesto's tools to share properties with their purchaser, because they're now incentivized to say, I want to make sure that this purchaser converts, and I care now about my conversion rate. Whereas before I thought, I'll have another purchaser lined up. Now I want to make it as easy as possible for the buyer to buy. So, you know, a real estate agent on Avesto that's using our off-plan product, and when they share it with the buyer, when the buyer is sitting on their couch at 6 o'clock at night and gets that inbound share from the realtor, and they can just click a button and make the reservation, just everybody in the equation now is happier. The buyer's had a better experience. The realtor's had a better experience. They know the buyer's secured and they've put down their reservation, start to move forward. The developer's happier. And if you've already got, you know, a high level of success, you don't need to change. You may not care about those same efficiencies where other markets have and where there's been competition to force change. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to, just so we can understand off plan. So if right now it would be accessible to agents, licensed agents, is that correct?
That's right. So off plan is two real core pieces of functionality. One is that it's a marketplace for licensed agents to log into to see units and homes that are available for sale. Developers post their homes there. They literally just log into our Avesto platform for developers, and they click a button, and anything that's available that they want in Avesto, they can post it to the marketplace. And then when an agent logs in, they can go and look at available units and, like, comb through them and see what might work for their buyer. It gives them a lot more access to various homes they may not otherwise have. And then they can go ahead and they can basically email it easily out to their buyer, and their buyer gets a great, like, login screen that's representative of the building, and they can see all the all the images and the floor plans and everything in that building, and then they can click on a home and they can put down a credit card and reserve it. Second component is that just if a developer wants to, they can actually link the off-plan product right to their website so that buyers that come direct to their website can kind of have the same experience directly through their website. So it's multifunctional, and always for the, you know, the realtor, we try to provide them with interesting tools like what's important from a commission perspective for them, and maybe, you know, exclusive options for them that are available on off-plan. So it's multifaceted from that perspective.
Do you see yourself as eventually becoming a project marketing company?
No. We work with a ton of project marketing companies, particularly, you know, in Vancouver. We work with Rennie, MLA, or Cameron, who you had last month on the from their firm. We work with basically all of them across Vancouver, and many of them across Ontario and into Quebec. They're great partners and customers of ours. We build a lot of software that helps them run their business. But I think that a lot of those firms are starting to really, and over the last 5 years, even before us, they've started to transition more into experts and leaders and thought leaders in advice and knowledge and advisory services. And we see ourselves more as a company that's focused on the software and the solutions from a technology perspective, as well as long-term providers of data to organizations like that, so that they can use that information and be more impactful themselves.
Yeah, I'm just thinking here, Tyler. Yeah, I know you're focused on the pre-sale space, but do you have any kind of like long-term vision, kind of 5, 10, 15 years? And I guess COVID potentially has ramped up the technological change. But how do you see the real estate industry changing kind of more generally with the technology that's out there and being developed right now?
That's a good question. I think that what you're going to see is there more people are willing and open to a technical driven experience or a technology driven experience that they might not have been open to before. There was a recent poll that I saw that said that 50% of millennial buyers said that they'd be willing to buy a home online, and that was from a resale perspective. So, you know, that's not just pre-construction, and that's homes that most people you'll feel they'll want to go in and touch and feel, but here they're willing to buy it without touching and feeling it, buying it fully online. So I think that the sentiment is more automation and more technology. And I think that what will continue to exist, and what you guys probably see, and I would ask you your thoughts on this, but agents will continue to have a really strong place as, like project marketing firms, they're very much experts on that community. You know, there's such community-centric opportunities for agents, and that's really how they've focused their time normally. So you can have all the technology you want, but no technology company can know, you know, what restaurants are in that neighborhood that are applicable to that buyer and meet their tastes, and, you know, what's there from a school perspective that really meets that individual. So it's like putting together that package for the client is important. And I think that we can give the tools to both the buyers and the agents, but we can't replicate that personal experience in an easy fashion, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'm definitely good at opening doors, but I don't consider that my value add, although Matt might disagree. But
wizard with keys.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess it is that idea that moving more into the advisory role, right? I mean, people are making often the biggest investment of their life, right? And they just want to be making sure that they understand what they're buying and that they've thought through the process entirely.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, you know, similar to the project marketing firms, agents are expert sales people. And, you know, their role in many of these regards is there to make sure that they're, I wouldn't say just selling, but they're creating opportunities to buy for people. And they're creating opportunities that people feel comfortable to buy in. So they're out there and they're presenting an option that a buyer says, you know what, I can get behind this, and you've checked all the boxes for me. And that's not something that any technology firm anywhere in the world in any industry has figured out how to solve yet. So I think that'll continue to be the place. I think it's going to be the human element, but what we can do from a technology perspective is create a lot more information and create a lot more data around it for the buyer to have easier access to explore, you know, before they're ready to buy.
I just have a question because, I mean, there's been a lot of I don't follow the future of real estate trends as much as I probably should, but I definitely have been monitoring, Zillow moving into Canada. Companies like Amazon obviously have a huge potential stake in selling real estate. I know that a lot of people in the States now, they're posting their listings directly onto Google now. What are your thoughts on who are the major players and who do you see as potentially triumphant in all this?
That's a crystal ball question. I mean, Zillow and Trulia, that group, which is one organization, definitely have a head start in online listings. The biggest issue I think for groups like that is that they drive a tremendous amount of revenue from their agent relationships. So if we were to look at Zillow or Trulia, and we were to say, well, you know, if the question is who is the most likely to disrupt the agent, then I think that what you'll see is that those firms which are very heavily entrenched from a consumer perspective, and people go to them to find what they want, are not going to be as motivated to disrupt the agent because they're very much focused on serving the agents that pay for the sponsorship on their platforms at the end of the day. And there's those players in Canada that are in the same position as well that are reflective of that, right? Most people will go to realtor.ca to find a home online. I think that you might be right when you look at a firm like Amazon that doesn't have those agent relationships. So I would imagine that if there is a disruption, that it comes from someone that's not yet in market yet and doesn't have an established relationship with the agent yet, because that would be the person that has right now, you know, no relationship to lose. So they'd be the one that wants to make the technology offering that is not concerned about maybe the agent, that's concerned just about the end consumer. And it really is a cost-based equation, right? It's, can I save you money by automating a bunch of the online marketing of your home? And can I do it in a way that is safe and secure and connects all the dots? And you don't need an agent. But that still does put, at the end of the day, all the onus of selling the home back onto the seller. And many sellers that are in this great boom cycle we've been in for so many years are probably looking at saying, selling's not my job, and I have hundreds of thousands of dollars profit tied up in my home. Let me just bring in an agent to make sure that I get top dollar for this, no matter what.
Right. What are some of the biggest challenges that you guys have faced at Avesto, kind of as you from kind of the soup to nuts so far?
Yeah, the probably the number one thing that we always struggle with is that it's a bit of a double-edged sword. We have great relationships with our customers, and we have a fantastic retention rate. We've barely lost any customers over the entire life cycle of our company. But then at the same time, there's a lot of customers in the market that are developers, when I say customers, that are opportunities out there that are just afraid of change, and they're slow to change. So it's always slower to make the changes in some of these industries that are slow change than you want. And as a person that, you know, wants to see technological change happen fast, I'm impatient. So that's been one. We also just, you know, there's a lot of regulatory hoops in real estate, and we're always trying to jump through them, and it takes us always, you know, longer than we want to try to figure them all out, because this is all really new stuff. And so we've done a fantastic job, I think, of surrounding ourselves with experts that know the industry and taking advice from good firms. You know, Terra Law has been a great support of us. Richard Bell's firm in British Columbia, of course, is a great leader in real estate. And in Ontario, you know, we spent a lot of time talking to firms like Bennett Jones that are leaders here in real estate law and construction, just to make sure that, you know, we've checked all the boxes. So those two things are kind of front of mind of us at all times.
And just thinking about OffPlan that was I guess just launched in April, can consumers looking to buy a pre-sale property, when can they expect to gain access to the platform?
We don't have a delivery date scheduled yet for opening up our marketplace to direct to consumer. I'd like to tell you it's within a year. We've got a bunch of great things that we want to be able to provide for realtors first to make sure that they have everything they need first before we open it up to consumers. It'll be a lighter version of what it is today for consumers. We also want to make sure that we do the right work where if a consumer comes in and they're working with a realtor, that realtor still has an opportunity to participate in the transaction. Today, the only way that consumers can access OffPlan to buy online is through developers' websites directly, or there are some developers now, it's been really forward-thinking developers like Aoyuan that have been very bullish on OffPlan, and they've, as of this weekend, started working on connecting the OffPlan inventory and the homes available on OffPlan directly to their online advertising and their online campaigns. So I think pretty soon you're going to be able to see it on Instagram and Twitter feeds that you can actually click the link and go through. It'll take you right to that home and you can click the button to buy it. So it'll be a little more direct from the developer if you're buying online through OffPlan without a realtor. And otherwise, it'll take several more quarters to get to the point where we'll go and create a marketplace that consumers can log into.
Excellent. Well, maybe we'll leave it there today, Tyler. But we do have this segment called The Five Wire, and we know you spend some time in Vancouver. Can you stick around for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So question number one is, what is your favorite neighborhood in Vancouver?
I like Cole Harbour and I like Kitsilano. I like Cole Harbour. I know probably most people don't, because I just like walking the waterfront. Being an Ontario native, it's always an awesome sight to just walk through city and see the mountains like that and breathe in the fresh air.
Right on. Favorite bar or restaurant?
I would definitely say my favorite restaurant is the sushi joint in Yale Town. I think it's called Blue Water Cafe.
Yeah. Great one.
That place is awesome.
What is one book that you've recommend any of our listeners to buy?
I am a big fan of Thinking Fast and Slow. It's just a great book on recognizing your biases and understanding how they're built. So from a business perspective, I just love to always, when we're trying to create products, think about, hey, what is it we brought into this discussion before that we should try and leave at the door? And I'm a big fan of the book, as it really breaks down how our minds work.
Ah, great one. What's one piece of advice you would give your 18-year-old self?
Don't be afraid to make the changes you want and jump off the cliff, build the parachute on your way down.
that's a common one lately. It's the recovery time, right? Maybe. and the last question is what is something that you've bought in the last year or two for under $1,000 that's changed your life?
Under $1,000 to change my life. I would say a TRX. Probably something I've bought in the last 6 months that's changed my life. I've been trying to get into shape during COVID. So
nice.
That was less than $1,000.
And for some of the heavier set listeners out there who don't exercise, can you?
Yeah, Matt's pointing at himself right now.
I actually don't have a clue what that is.
It's like a TRX. It's like two bands that kind of.
Oh, right.
The wall and, yeah, and it's just got all these good workouts.
Yeah, that's great. So you're one of the very few who has emerged from this quarantine in better shape.
Well, if I get a second alternate point to that, it would be that I bought a I don't know if you've ever heard of a Coravin. It's this thing you put on top of a wine bottle and you can pour a glass at a time. So like the inverse of that. I bought one of those too. So I've been having a glass of wine every night and enjoying it.
So you're breaking even, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, Tyler, how can people find out more about Avesto and what you're up to?
Go to avesto.com. And we also have offplan.homes for realtors to check out. There's a lot more to come, and I think soon you're going to see it integrated into a lot of different developers' websites. We are happy to say that we have, you know, over 80% of the developers in the Lower Mainland using Avesto, and more of them every day are signing up on Offplan. So excited to talk to you guys in the future and look back on this and see how far we've come.
Right on. Well, thanks again for your time, Tyler. That was great talk.
Thanks very much, guys. Look forward to talking again.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Klaus Rode, property manager here in Vancouver and Toronto, as well as Tyler Proud, CEO of Avesto.
That was two guys living both in the six.
They're both in the big smoke, entering phase two.
Entering phase two. Hopefully they get to where we are here in Vancouver, because it feels like stuff is back.
Yeah, it feels back for sure. I think Klaus... that update that left me optimistic.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we are seeing a lot of activity in the market in June. It'll be super interesting to see what the stats report, but on the ground, everybody seems to be very, very busy.
The first 2 weeks were sales were definitely up, that's for sure.
Yeah, last but not least, Matt, we are going to be sending out a mailer about this, but we also have our talk coming up.
Oh, right.
That we need to address. This is going to be going out probably, I think, early next week, a registration link for a talk. There's up to 1,000 seats. I think they're getting close to being about half full or so already.
Wait, is this a Zoom? It's a Zoom seat, though.
It's a Zoom seat, yeah. So it's a virtual seat.
Right.
You're probably standing, actually. We have no idea. It's a cloud-based seat. Sit on a cloud.
I didn't even know it was limited to 1,000. Okay, well, it's news for me. It's July 11th.
Okay,
it's
July 11th.
It's 9 till noon. I think we might be first up on this. What is really going on in Vancouver real estate? But there are a whole host of very exciting guests speaking about different aspects of the market. I was actually talking to one of the guys putting it on this morning about storage and investing in storage in Surrey. Right. They have something going on there that sounded actually really interesting. Might bring that on the podcast.
This is it's going to be super interesting. And we talked about it last week about Dave Steele. He's talking about carrying 6,000 doors through a pandemic. Yeah. And there's so
many.
This is going to be a great learning experience for anybody, any of our listeners out there.
And it's free.
All you really have to do is go to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, sign up for the live wire, and you will get a link. You can register. It's free. It's probably – I don't know. I think we are going first. I don't know if that's a coup or –
Yeah, yeah.
Is that when
everybody's still wandering around trying to find out how Zoom works?
Yeah, when everyone's trying to find their virtual seat, they're going to put the Scalina brothers on.
Everybody's virtually getting coffee?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then there'll be a couple toilet flushes in there. Anyways, this is going to be a fantastic talk, and you're going to learn a lot. I'm going to stick around for the whole thing. And I'm looking forward to that.
So head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com and sign up to the live wire.
Yes.
And you're going to get the registration next week.
Yeah. And what other resources do we have over there?
Well, we got the Sellers Club.
Yeah, Sellers Club. Most exclusive club in the city. Picture like a mahogany smoking room.
I'm going to make a prediction. Somebody at some point is going to go, I was there for volume one of the Sellers Club.
Yeah, exactly. It's a thriving, growing
exclusive,
list.
But it's growing, and there's a reason for it. I'm very proud of the resources we're putting out there.
We are absolutely proud. This is definitely a list you're going to want to be on.
That's absolutely right. Last but not least, of course, we have Private Client Services. That's a real estate research tool we have over at Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
Yeah, Matt, if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. It's basically realtor level information at your fingertips. It's free. It's available at our site. This is honestly the best way to look for real estate in Vancouver. And I'm also going to just say it here. Know what your neighbors are selling for. Like, this is also a great resource for sellers. That, like, I just actually set up a gentleman the other day with a really tight radius around his house. He just wanted to know what, like, you know, a handful of streets around his immediate
house.
Or
a building.
In a building. It's a perfect resource to just keep an eye on the market. And it's available. We can set it up for you for free at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
If you want to talk about that or anything else, give me a call, 778-847-2854, or matt@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574, or adam@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
We also got that secret line, and the band might be getting back together here. Ramey, yes. Ramey Films, we're back in touch. Secret might be leaving the
emerging
basement. I mean,
this I sent him a Mach 5. I'm really excited to see what he emerges as, because I'm optimistic that there's maybe abs coming out.
I've been watching his
what is it? My Fitness Pal.
Yeah. Oh, he's still doing the elliptical. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I saw him. He banged out 15 minutes the other day.
I have a feeling, like I said to him, it's like he's like the Japanese guy that gets lost on the island and thinks World War II is still going on in the 70s.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely down 150 calories. We know that for sure.
You can reach him and talk about all these things, info@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Yeah, ask him how his body's shaping up.
Have a good week, guys.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.